Good morning, friends. Good morning to one and all. I'm so happy to be coming your way once again with a short gospel message. Now, I realize that there are many benefits of salvation. The greatest, perhaps, is eternal life, which we're looking forward to enjoying in the ceaseless ages of eternity. But did you know that there are a lot of blessings we get right now out of salvation? Many, many blessings which come our way. In fact, it's a present salvation, not one that's we'll get more benefits, of course, but we reap some benefits right now. Listen, present salvation. Is it just a hope of heaven when this troubled life is over and the thought that there's a mansion waiting on the other shore? Is it just the hope of being someday pure and white within? And that when across the river, we shall then be free from sin? Is it just a hope of having peace and gladness by and by? Though on earth are sighs and sorrows, all is glorious in the sky? No, the hope I have now gives me joy and peace beyond compare. And my blessed Lord has taken all my trials and my care. Oh, the precious hope we harbor is an anchor to the soul. Never need the heart be troubled, though the raging waters roll. No, we need not cross the river ere our dark foreboding cease, for just now my heart's overflowing with a stream of perfect peace. Well, thanks the Lord. Now, listen to this verse in Psalms 119:18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, it certainly must be a dreadful thing for a person to be born blind, or perhaps this might even be worse, for one who had his eyesight to lose it in an accident and be no longer able to see the beautiful things in this life. One might hear and speak and feel and even smell, but to lose one's eyesight is no doubt a great loss. Now, we're speaking of natural eyesight. There is an incident recorded in St. John, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, that tells of a man who was born blind. He'd never been able to see in all his life, but one day the Master came along. This contact with the Savior brought about a change in the blind man's life, which gave him great joy, for Jesus anointed his eyes and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Now, don't you think this was a gift even greater than any earthly treasure? No doubt his joy was so great as he went down the road beholding the things of nature that he began to tell it wherever he went. It was as great as his fondest expectations to think that he was now able to see, and of course, all this came about because his eyes had been opened. Now, let us go one step further and compare this to the spiritual condition of those who are blinded. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, we read, But their minds were blinded. This is speaking of those who lived under the law of Moses, but were unable to comprehend the spiritual things of God. They were blinded to the real truths of the Word. And friends, you know there's some people like that today. Again, we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Can you think of some of the things which are blinding the eyes of people who live in the world today? Even though there may be some who would not accept this fact, those who disbelieve the gospel and reject it, those who are unwilling to accept the light of its teachings, those who refuse to obey its commands, are blinded and groping their way through life in darkness. Look at this verse in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing for those who are blinded if they could see the spiritual things of God after their eyes have been opened? Listen now once again to this text, which I read to you in the beginning. It says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Now, friends, it really takes God to open our eyes. There's no other way to have our spiritual eyesight open. Sometimes certain things are done to natural eyes to make them work more effectively. But there's just one remedy for spiritual blindness. That is the new birth and salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just as a man whose eyes were open at the pool of Siloam went his way rejoicing and beholding the beauties about him, even so, those who are born into the family of God began to see the beauties of his family and of his church. There are things which they may never have known, which they will then understand. They see people manifesting the grace of God in such a marvelous way which they never realized even existed in this world. All of this has been brought about because their eyes have been opened. It is a new world to them. Old things are passed away, and the old things which they once loved, they now hate. Now, in comparing those who are able to see with those who are blind, listen to this scripture in Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. There are those in the world today who profess to know God, but they refuse to accept the teachings of His Word. This same class of people should be compared with the Pharisees in the time of Christ. They taught the law and made a good outward show, but inwardly they were full of wickedness. Listen to the words of the Master from Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, sometimes children play games blindfolded. They endeavor to perform certain acts with their eyes closed, hoping to see how well they can do this. They provide a laughing stock to their playmates. For playing games, this may be a great sport, but when we're dealing with the eternal truths of the Bible, let us remember that we're performing in this life and playing for keeps. It is not something to provide a laughing stock to others, but we should be sincere and earnest in this business of serving God. And it's not time for us to play this game of life with our eyes closed, but we must have our eyes open and be fully aware of the dangers which surround us on every hand. There we will find professors of religion who are only playing this game for financial gain or personal advantage or for the praise of men. Friends, let us not live in this way before God, but let us live as the true children of God, with our eyes open, that we may be able to realize the value of the eternal things of God. Remember the text, as I repeat it once again, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And speaking of the path which shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day, listen now to this poem.
The Pathway of the Just by B. E. Warren. There are beams of brilliant sunlight along the holy way where the weary pilgrims travel in the dust. They are happy as they're nearing that land of blissful day. They are walking in the pathway of the just. They are walking in the footsteps of Jesus all the time, for the needed strength and grace in Him they trust. They are on the way to glory where joys are more sublime. They are walking in the pathway of the just. They are joyful in temptation because the Lord is near. Let offenses come, for Jesus said they must. So, with sword and shield they conquer, without a doubt or fear, they are walking in the pathway of the just. By the pastures evergreen, by refreshing waters free, Christ will lead them, if in Him they fully trust. To the Father He will say, "These are mine Thou gavest me. I have kept them in the pathway of the just."
Thank you, Kathleen. And now let us pause for a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege of having our spiritual eyes opened to behold wondrous things from thy law. We pray that you would bless all those who hear the broadcast, and may thy Spirit accompany this message to provide deliverance and healing and lasting joy to those who accept thy word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one more scripture here which I want to give you. Please notice this about it. It's only one sentence. It may sound like more than this, but there's no period from the time it starts until the time I finish with it. You may talk about a complete, complex sentence and other forms of grammar, but listen to this, and I hope you will grasp the fullness of its meaning. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Friends, I like that scripture, don't you? Here now is our song, You Can't Do Wrong and Get By. The singers are Lynn Carver, Arnett Carver, Troy Gentry, and yours truly, Willie Murphy.
Out into the darkness you alone may go, and see for the wicked one soul. There's an eye that's watching from the throne on high. You can do wrong and get by. You can do wrong and get by. No matter how much you may try, nothing hidden can be, everything he does see. You can do wrong and get by. Yes, he knows your secrets, everything you do. He knows that your life is untrue. You can ne'er deceive him, there's no use to try. You can't do wrong and get by.
We meet us again next Sunday at this same time on this same station for another broadcast of the Mission Trail. Until then, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be yours, and a very cheerful goodbye.
You can do wrong and get by.